Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to talk about best practices in integrating clients into digital marketing and public relations efforts. Our guest today is Amanda Schneider. Amanda is the Chief Marketing Officer of Epstein Becker Green, where she oversees a team of business development, communications, and marketing operations professionals. Amanda also staffs the firm's board of directors and has been with Epstein Becker Green for 14 years. In today's episode, Amanda discusses the benefits of including clients in your digital marketing efforts. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thank you, Guy. I really appreciate being part of your podcast.
Well, I really appreciate you being on our podcast. So before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Like, how did you get involved in legal marketing and more specifically digital marketing?
That's a great question. My background really varies before being in legal marketing. I worked in corporate environments and I also worked in the government. I was recruited into the legal market, you know, by a really great recruiter who talked about how varied my career could be and my past experiences would lend themselves to working in the industry. So I've been in the industry for a little over 17 years with 14 years at this firm. And I am always amazed at how my career progresses and the projects that we work on progress in this industry that is ever evolving.
Yeah, it sure is. So was legal marketing or the legal world what you expected when you got into it?
No, it's an interesting area to work in. You have so many stakeholders that if you work in a corporation or even in the government or for a consultancy, you have, you know, the reporting structure is different and you have less day-to-day stakeholders. So it's a challenging role because you are trying to stay abreast of all the latest trends, but also meeting the needs of a very diverse constituency and really looking to, you know, make your stakeholders happy in this environment. So it's challenging. And I like that about it, that continued challenge.
It definitely is challenging. I agree with you. So obviously, the COVID pandemic has had a great impact in the way law firms market themselves. How does Epstein Becker's strategic vision provide a foundation for digital marketing specifically?
In my view, we have the perfect platform for digital marketing because we are a super boutique in that we focus on healthcare and life sciences and labor employment and workforce management. And those are our nationally known brands. We have a very strong litigation practice as well. We really do have these two areas that we are known for. So you can go really deep with your efforts and marketing around those core practices because we are so focused.
That's great. And, you know, what I have found is having a focus makes things not only in a sense easier, but also much more effective. I feel like firms that are very broad in their efforts or their strategy sometimes struggle with reaching their target audience. Do you agree?
I think that's right. It's a much bigger challenge. We definitely can take our resources and allocate them in these areas and really, you know, focus on these strengths. And it's been very strong for us in the digital marketing area.
And so tell us a little bit about the types of digital projects that Epstein Becker has been engaged in over the last year or so.
Great. Yes, we have video programming and podcast programming. So we have our Thought Leaders in Healthcare video series, our Diagnosing Healthcare podcast, and our Employment Law This Week, you know, weekly video series. And we produced over 250 episodes of Employment Law This Week, which I joke with my team, but that's more than Seinfeld and Friends at this point. So a lot of episodes of something. But yeah, we're always working with the packaging for these different vehicles. So we have a weekly e-com called Workforce Wednesday that we use to package our content for employment law this week and other thought leadership that we do. We're always looking to grow what we're doing to stay on the cutting edge of digital marketing.
And what have you found with these digital projects? What would you say is the biggest challenge when a firm your size decides to engage in these types of projects?
You have to make sure you have the resources to take this on, both from staff, but also attorney resources, because for all of these projects, we have an editorial team made up of attorneys that have to be committed to a schedule, especially if you're putting out consistent programming, and we really do strive to do that. So when you look at our weekly video series, that means you have to hit many deadlines the previous week and the week of to actually be able to produce that effort in a consistent format. And I know our clients have come to expect certain, you know, programming from us in that model where they know on Wednesday they get this update. And they mention it to me when I go to events. It's often commented on how great that consistency is. So I think if you don't have the staff resources in-house, you have to find the right combination of external resources and internal resources to really produce this type of programming.
I completely agree. I think consistency is one of the most important things when firms decide to create thought leadership, especially digital thought leadership. So kudos to you on recognizing that and putting that into place. What other important factors do you consider when you're producing digital thought leadership content?
We like for these efforts to be something that we can showcase our clients in as well. We greatly value those relationships, and our clients are really industry leaders. So we have found ways to integrate them into, you know, our video programming, but also our podcast. So you will see interviews with clients or other industry contacts that we feel really add value to the storyline. And, you know, our clients really appreciate that. When we are done producing whatever the asset is, we make it really easy for our client or contact to share that asset because it makes them feel like they're part of it. And also it helps their own personal brand to have this really well produced, you know, piece of digital marketing that they can distribute to their contacts.
And what about showcasing some of your talents? I mean, you guys have great attorneys, associates. How are you able to do that through your digital thought leadership?
Given how much of, you know, podcast and video programming that we've put out, I would venture to say 60% of our attorneys have some sort of this type of programming on their bio. And I always tell our attorneys, this is a great way for potential clients or contacts to go to your bio and immediately see something of you so they get a sense for who you are and the value that you provide. We also use this as a way to train our attorneys from the time they start at the firm. We include associates and counsel, really all levels of our attorneys and our thought leadership. It allows an environment where we can train our associates to start speaking in front of others and really become well-versed even for other types of things like media interviews, speaking engagements at conferences. So it's really a training platform for us as well, and allows each of our attorneys to have a way to talk about the areas that they work in and the value they provide to clients.
So I find it really interesting that, you know, you really get your clients involved with your digital marketing. I don't think there's too many firms that do that. I see some firms perhaps where they'll mention deals that they've recently closed, or, you know, perhaps once in a while they'll have a client on a podcast or something like that. But you guys have really, you know, taken it to the next level and really get your clients involved and collaborate with them when it comes to digital marketing. Can you give us a couple other examples of how you're able to collaborate with clients in the digital projects that you're doing?
Yes, we go to them at times and ask for topics they would be interested in hearing more about. And then often as a result of that conversation, we find that we can collaborate together, or they may have another idea for someone to be, you know, featured in our effort. These digital marketing efforts also lead to other projects that we can work on. So maybe a joint article, you know, or a joint speaking event. So it's a conversation starter for our attorneys to be able to go to a client and say, we greatly value you and we think that you have something to say that the industry needs to hear. And these are the opportunities to do that with us. It really makes it feel like you're working together on these issues. We also feature clients at various signature events throughout the year. And we've tried to take pieces of that content and market it on social media, you know, after an event, you know, using quotes that someone might have said, are really not just having a moment in time, but finding a way to follow up later to showcase what was said to really maximize the effort for the client and for us.
You know, how does the process actually work? Like, how do you identify the clients that you will ask to be on a podcast or a video? Is it something that your attorneys will say, hey, you know, we should have Joe Schmo on a podcast? Or, you know, what is actually the process that you guys go through to identify clients that you want to invite? And then, you know, how does the invitation process actually go?
Well, it goes back to those editorial team meetings for the different digital marketing groups that we have. We often solicit ideas there, but then we keep an eye out for what our clients are writing, for where they're speaking, and we're looking at topics that might be of interest to a larger group. So part of that is my own team doing diligence as well as our attorneys and really communicating with our attorneys to say, this is a really interesting topic and this client spoke about it. Is there any way we could integrate them to be part of our effort? I know when employment law this week first started years ago, we would research authors and all kinds of industry experts to be part of. There was a segment called Tip of the Week that we featured someone every week, either a client or someone who represented one of the industries that we serve. And that was really great. Many times it was my own staff identifying people who might be good.
Fantastic. So with all these digital projects that you're doing, obviously, you know, you have to figure out what's working, what's not working, and really have a way to measure the overall impact and return on investment. Tell us a little bit about how you do that. How do you know what's working and what isn't? How do you go about measuring all of this stuff that you're doing?
It's really all about the metrics. And we have a team who meet regularly to review metrics. So we look at click rates on both the web and through our e-coms. And we also look at topics where there was a strong click rate, where we think people have really, you know, high interest. And then we look to develop those further later. And we talk to our attorneys about that at these editorial meetings. We say, look, looks like this topic was really well received. What else can we do? Also, are there other types of thought leadership that we could put out around this particular topic? It seems that our clients, our contacts are really interested in this. I think that you have to have those metrics when you have conversations with attorneys because they really do like those statistics and it just validates what my team is trying to accomplish or the value that we provide to the attorneys to say, if a topic is not really being clicked on, you know, if people aren't listening or viewing, we shouldn't focus our efforts there. Everyone has limited time and we value our attorney's time and also our client's time. So we wouldn't want them to be part of something that doesn't have an impact.
And how do you think like a year or two from now, how do you feel this is going to evolve? You know, obviously digital marketing is becoming more and more important in the legal industry. If you had to look forward a few years, what do you think is going to happen with all these efforts that your firm is doing, but also, you know, in general, what law firms are doing?
I think any firm that's really serious about thought leadership will have to engage in digital marketing efforts. And I do believe firms are figuring that out right now, if they don't already have the resources, how to make this happen. We are constantly looking at everything we do on a regular basis to see how we can improve or tweak it. I would like to believe that that's what the rest of the industry is also doing to make sure that you're really meeting the need of your viewer or your client. But I expect this area to just explode. So finding good consultants who can help, great external resources, but also having internal staff who are really sharp and able to essentially be program developers or, you know, producers of a sort is key if you would like to engage in this level of activity.
I completely agree. And, you know, from all of these efforts, can you point to specific examples of how your digital marketing efforts have enabled the firm to either win new business from new clients or potentially repeat business from existing clients?
We definitely have instances where a video went out or we know a podcast episode caused someone to notice us who was not a current client and actually contact the firm. Because we push out these efforts on so many different platforms, on social media, on our website, and we ask our attorneys to share the content as well. Every week, we are accessible to such a vast, diverse group of people through these efforts. So you definitely have the ability to win new business. I also think it's really valuable for existing clients where we may not work with them in one area. They see a piece of digital marketing. We seem to have great depth. They can say, great, I noticed this and I sent an email to someone who deals with this in our organization and they're going to reach out to you on this other matter that we have. So I think it's also a cross-selling vehicle as well.
Fantastic. One more question I have for you. You know, you staff the firm's board of directors. You know, not a lot of CMOs are part of a firm's board of directors. What advantage do you think that gives you as a CMO to be so closely tied into the overall business, not just the marketing direction, but the business direction of a firm?
That's a great question. When I came to Epstein Becker Green, I was in a different role. I wasn't the CMO. I was working with our chair on firm projects. I was staffing the board, and then I was promoted into the CMO role. But I've always had that seat at the table where I could really understand the strategy and direction of the firm. And again, because we are so focused, our mission is very clear. What we do is very clear. And having that access to the board members and the senior management team of our firm has really allowed me to come back to my team and clearly communicate a direction. And it also allows me to speak to our board about the trends that are emerging in marketing and business development and let them know that we're on top of it. And every day we're looking at what's changing and developing and really looking to continue expanding our efforts. I think it gives the board comfort in having that connection with me in this role.
I love it. All right. Well, Amanda, unfortunately, we're run out of time for today, but I really do appreciate you coming on board and, you know, sharing a little bit of your experience and the great work that you're doing at Epstein Becker Green. But before I let you go, is there some word of advice or some ideas you could give to our audience that perhaps they're just getting started with their digital marketing efforts or they're not quite seeing the traction at the highest levels of the firm that they would like to see?
Yes, I would say this can be very overwhelming and you have to take it a piece at a time. And so start small sometimes with an effort, maybe pilot an effort before you commit to a year-long project so that you can tweak the resources needed and know that you can really meet the need and deliver upon what you're saying you will do. Because the worst thing you can do as a leader in a law firm is make a promise and not actually meet the expectation or deliver upon what you have said you will do or your team will do. So I would say look for the small wins are really important in law firms. And also it allows you that room to make the changes you need to continue evolving your efforts. I would also say find strong external resources who you can work with, because you will need vendors and consultants who share the same type of work style that you have and who you can really partner with to produce the efforts that are needed, especially if you're a smaller firm. You may not have the in-house team to do this. So you really have to look for those very strong relationships with others in the industry. The last thing I would say is talk to your peers and find out what's working for them and what's not working, and really try to share knowledge, because I have found the legal marketing community, other leaders, to be so generous with their advice. And that's one of the best things about working in this industry, is that strong feeling of camaraderie that you have with other people working in law firms.
Couldn't agree more. It is indeed a very vast and powerful community for sure. All right, Amanda. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's really been a pleasure, and it's so interesting to hear how your firm is handling digital marketing. For our listeners, I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. If you did and you don't want to miss any future episodes, I invite you to go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there. You can also check out some of our past episodes. Amanda, thank you again for your time, and perhaps we'll have you back in the future.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time as well. I look forward to hearing the other episodes in your podcast as well.
Thank you, Amanda. Have a great day. And to our audience, enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you next time.